Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to My Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Glad you're listening today because we've got a great show. We've got my good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley joining us on the air today to talk about how to fight for your marriage when your spouse is fighting you. Maybe you're in a situation where your spouse's love has gone cold. You're not ready to give up, but it feels hopeless. That's what we're going to talk about today. How do you rebuild that bridge? When are you overstepping by trying to rebuild intimacy? What's wisdom look like? Well, Greg and Aaron are going to help us sort through that today, so let me tell you about them. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, Wholehearted Marriage, and a whole bunch of other books. And Aaron is a Program Director at Focus on the Family. She's an accomplished author and speaker as well. And she and Greg live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison. And they've got an influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome, Greg and Aaron. So glad to have you.
It's great to be here with you once again.
Yes, of course, as always.
Yeah, we just spent some time talking to our daughter, Tater.
Tater.
Oh, Tater Tot, as we like to call her.
Thanks for
noticing, pointing out her mistake.
So, yeah, thank you for that on live radio.
Well,
so
hey,
you just
welcome.
Changed her nickname. You've just given her the nickname to cover
exactly.
for me. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
See, because I figured you know that. Hey, but I did want to say this, because this is really cool. This is a big deal.
Okay.
Aaron and I had a little work lunch date today, and I got her fortune in my fortune cookie.
Okay.
And guess what it says?
What?
That
you're gonna
others
have a baby?
Will take note of your radiant personality today.
Whoa.
So,
and you're telling me this because?
Well, because I'm thinking that you're probably going to take note of my
radiant
personality.
Someone is. I'm not sure who. Notice he didn't think it was going to be me sitting across
exactly.
the table.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to be surprised by the fact that you were taking note.
Well, I am basking in the glow even now, so thank,
thank
you for that setup. I don't know if I would have noticed your radiant personality had you not set it up with a message from a fortune cookie, but
most don't. So that's why I did want to clarify.
Yes. Thank you. But I'm glad you had a lunch date. That's fantastic.
We did.
At
yes.
P.F. Chang's, your
Way.
Favorite.
Just one of my favorites for sure. Okay, you guys, you know this drill, and I'm going to start with you, Aaron, if it's okay. We love to start out talking scripture. I'm wondering if there's just a passage that you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Mm-hmm. You know, John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And especially with the topic we're talking about today, that, you know, we're going to have trials and trouble in our marriages, in our relationships, and in life. But take heart, because he has overcome whatever it is. He's overcome the world and everything in it. And so, but, you know, I think so many couples are shocked when they do hit difficult times. The bottom line is, it says right there in John, you will have trouble.
You know, Aaron, I was thinking as you're talking about taking heart, other places in Scripture it says don't lose heart. And both of those imply that we have some kind of choice in the matter, where we lose heart or where we take heart. And just there's just times where in those troubles, when we have the run the risk of losing heart, to be able to take heart and take courage and say, I feel like giving up. I feel like throwing my perspective out the window. But I'm going to stand here and I'm going to take heart, because somehow I'm going to overcome when it's all said and done. You know?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm laughing because yesterday I had one of those moments, and my our youngest Annie, 8 years old, literally pipes up from the back seat. I was literally having a meltdown talking to Greg on the phone, and she goes, "Mom, I prayed for you because you needed you needed your heart to be in the right place."
Oh, wow.
That's
spoken,
our 8-year-old.
I know.
I'm
going to say, that's
somehow
like a, spoken
she
like a true
me
Smalley, huh?
And says, I had a different choice. I needed to choose to take heart.
I reset you by my radiant personality.
And beauty.
Yes.
You're beautiful, Greg.
Beautiful.
Well,
yes.
You know, if we're being honest.
Okay, how about you, Greggy?
Well, to maybe just to continue the same, I love in Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you may abound in hope." And as we're talking, we do have choice. We have a choice as we walk through whatever difficulty, whatever struggle, if there's things going on in our marriage. You know, we can choose to go, "God, how are you going to use this? How can I learn to be a better spouse?" That's the hope that we have, is that I love when Aaron was talking about that, that God is, that, that Christ has come to overcome the world. In other words, the victory is already there.
Yeah.
So how do we tap into that, that victory along the way when we're struggling and we feel abandoned, rejected, when we feel that love that has gone cold maybe within our marriage?
Mm. I remember one of the stories when we were on Everyday Relationships, Greg, you told it a couple times, where in the early years of marriage, how you guys struggled. And there was a point, though, when one of your mentors, one of the Olivers, called, and Aaron, you were out, and they asked where you were, and Greg jokingly said she left, and one of them said, "Oh, I was afraid that was going to happen."
Yeah.
And your heart sort of dropped into your stomach, because you're like, what? So I want to ask both of you about that particular time. I'll start with you, Greg. I mean, that was a very jarring moment for you, because even though you knew you'd struggled, you didn't know where Aaron's heart had been at that point. So talk about that moment.
Yeah, as I remember back onto that season, that was, again, within the first couple years of our marriage, and I knew that we had problems. I knew that we were struggling. We also had some great moments. We had a daughter in that season, so, I mean, there was a lot of good. We loved the Lord. We went to church. There was a lot of good, but at the same time, the more and more we struggled to work through conflict, the more and more that our hearts begin to close towards each other. And that was the part that I didn't know. I didn't really know even to look for that, signs of that. I just remembered feeling at some point that, what is going on? Did I marry the wrong person? I mean, certainly marriage is not meant to be this difficult.
Wow.
Well, it's got to be, either it's me, which, I mean, let's be honest, with a rating personality, it's probably not me. But is it Aaron? Is it our marriage? I mean, I literally was so confused thinking, what is happening? This is not what I signed up for. And it was so discouraging.
And how easy to think, could I have made a mistake and married the wrong person? I mean, to go down that road is a complete miss, but I think anybody walking upon a hard time will think that. But Aaron, I got to ask you, were you at a point at that point where he needed to win you back? Would you say, or were both of your hearts closing at the same pace together towards each other?
Yeah, I would say that we were both closing, and I don't even know that we had the language to explain what was happening, other than I was completely disillusioned with, this is what I signed up for. Really? I married the son of Dr. Gary Smalley, and this is what it looks like? It was interesting times, and we still enjoyed each other. We had those moments of joy, and we had moments of laughter because of Greg's radiant personality. And, you know, it really, but like Greg was saying, conflict and differences of opinion and, you know, how we spent our free time. I mean, there were just so many changes going on, and we didn't even know what was going on because we were just miserable and our hearts were closing. We were losing perspective in life, and that's often what happens when a heart closes. You become so self-consumed about what is going on for me instead of focusing on the other person.
Wow, I really appreciate that. So before we start really digging into the whole idea of fighting when your spouse is fighting you, because both of you had a mutually closed heart, but both of you were committed to God, committed to the idea of marriage, and so you found a way to reconnect with each other. What were some first steps, Greg, first of all, that you took to move towards Aaron, regardless of what you were feeling? And then, Aaron, I'll ask you to answer that same question.
I think there has to be a moment where we are courageous enough to accept the reality of where we were. And it was easy for me to continue to make excuses, to believe the best, to think, you know, this is, we're just going through, just, it's just a funny season. It's not that big of a deal. So I probably was minimizing really where we were at. And I had no concept that, boy, when hearts continue to close, eventually they'll harden. And that's not the way it was supposed to be. And that definitely wasn't the way that it was in the beginning of our marriage. And so I would say, first and foremost, just be aware, notice the state of your relationship. And like when that mentor, when she literally, you know, called asking for Aaron, and I said, well, Aaron's gone. Or I think I said, well, Aaron left. And she said, I was so sorry. I thought that this might happen. You know, that I think that jarred me into going, is this obvious to others? And it was the first time. So we met that night with this mentor couple of ours, and they remember, Aaron, they were really very stern with us, and said, we're done with the half truths, we're done with the Pollyannish, we're done with you saying that everything is okay, we're fine. What is really truly going on? And I think that was the first time that we had actually sat down with someone and said, okay, here it is. Here's what's going on. Here's really where we're at. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I mean, we know the platitudes, we know the little cliches, you know, the first step is to acknowledge that there's a problem. But honestly, that was really true for us. I think once we tried so hard, well, I'll speak for me. I tried so hard to keep our problems in the dark because I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. As Aaron so nicely pointed out, I was the son of Gary Smalley. So I should have known all this. So what was, so mm-hmm. probably it was my fault. So I didn't want any of that to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the first time that we were able to shed some light and shine a big spotlight into the dark corners of our relationship that we were trying to keep hidden.
Wow. You know, just a couple things that stand out to me. Humility is a must-have if you're going to have a thriving marriage, obviously. I mean, just see that over the years. We have to be able to humble ourselves. But I wonder how couples make it without a mentor couple. If you don't have someone speaking into your life, and if it's always on your terms, your rules, and you keep things hidden, it seems like you just implode. And how about you, Aaron, just taking us to that place? What comes back to you?
Yeah, I can remember the Oliver stepping in and really calling us out on it. And I mean, because I think, as Greg was saying, that we both, you know, are kind of like, well, this is it, you know, here we are, and didn't really realize some of the choices we were making every single day that were impacting our relationship. And then, like Greg said, we found out we were pregnant. And, you know, then we had this beautiful baby girl, and we realized that no more was this acceptable. Mm. And I started going to counseling, and because part of Greg's coping was that, you know, hey, Aaron, this, if you just did this different and did this, and I would go, okay, I'll try, you know, so I went to counseling, and, you know, that really was a great first step for me, because I came out of a family system that, you know, I really didn't have a lot of knowledge in relationships or skills in relationships. And I can be the poster child to say that these things can be learned. Mm-hmm. And I have come a long way. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not there. I haven't arrived, but yet I have learned so much. And it really began while I was pregnant with Taylor, our firstborn.
Tater.
Thanks, friends.
I ate tater tots during therapy, you know, ketchup included, you know, that I really acknowledged that this had taken me to a place of depression. Mm. And, you know, to have a therapist, a clinical therapist, Christian therapist, female, look at me and say, you know what, you are depressed. And these are some natural things we can do to help with that. And, you know, just to be intentional. And so that really set us on that journey toward healing.
Wow. Talking to my friends Greg and Aaron Smalley about how to fight for your marriage, and especially when one of your spouses is fighting you. I want to know if you've been married a long time or even a short time, if you've come through a season like that where you thought we're hanging on by a thread, but you decided to put it back together. What did you do? Or if you're in that place where your spouse is fighting you and you want to fight for the marriage, feel free to call anonymously. Greg and Aaron are on the line to answer your questions. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More in a moment. tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Maybe you're driving home from work. I'm so glad you're listening. So we're talking today about how to fight for your marriage, and especially when your spouse is fighting you. But I also want to offer you some encouragement today. If both of you are mutually kind of shut down towards each other, maybe you're hanging on by a thread, the temptation is to think, you know, it'd be easier to start over. It'd be easier to quit. But I promise you, it is not easier. We've covered this topic over and over again. Divorce is not a quick solution. It's a costly, painful, long-term solution. So we want to encourage you today. You can either call anonymously if you're in the middle of a storm and we can pray for you and you've got questions, you need some advice from Greg and Aaron. Or I want to know, how did you stand? How did you recover when you came through such a time? 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We've got Julie checking in from Ramsey, Minnesota. And she's,
hi.
Hey, how are you today?
Well, I am doing okay. I am literally on my way home to have a continued discussion with my husband about whether or not he's going to leave.
Oh, hon.
That's how we left it last night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've been racking my brain all day, trying to figure out how to continue this conversation and convince him to stay and figure out a way to work it out. So this is a very timely hit on the radio station today for me. I was I'm wondering if there's any way.
Yeah.
Advice you may have for me.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have Greg and Aaron both speak to you, but I'm going to find a copy. I'm pretty sure we have a copy of Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. Would that be, would you suggest that, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the best book, if we have it somewhere and we could get it to her, would be How to Winning Back Your Husband.
Okay. Julie, we're going to get you some kind of Smalley resource for sure. But let's have Aaron, let's start with you talking to Julie. And we're definitely going to pray for you, Julie, before we hang up. Go ahead, Aaron.
Julie, has this been going on for a while? Are you shocked by this conversation, or had you felt it kind of coming on?
This has been going on for probably a year and a half, and he just says that he has no feelings. He doesn't love me anymore. He has nothing there for me. It's almost like his heart is just so hardened. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been trying to manage through this. We tried counseling. He would only go a few times. He's, you know, not that kind of guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tried talking, you know, I've tried things. I'm in counseling, and I, you know, keep trying things my counselor suggests, but things just don't seem to be getting better on his end. And I think it's almost a depression, but I'm just at a loss. I just don't know what even to do anymore.
That is so difficult. I cannot even tell you how my heart is aching for you right now. I just encourage you to be filled with hope, be strong and courageous, because it is not over. There is always the hope of the Lord to turn towards. We have seen scenarios like this over and over again, Julie, that end up turning out much differently than what you would expect. And so I encourage you to really take a stand when you walk in of asking questions, seeking to understand what's truly going on, what's his perspective in the relationship. Be slow to listen, or quick to listen, slow to speak. And I just encourage you, we're going to pray for you and, you know, give you the power of God to walk into that house with.
Hey, Julie, this is Greg. Again, my heart breaks for you as well. And, man, just, 1 Corinthians talks about just being strong and courageous, and that's what you're about to do. My encouragement to you is do not put the pressure on yourself to find the words to convince him of anything, because that puts you in a role that you will never, ever be successful at. Instead, here's what I would encourage you to do, that as you go into this discussion, your job is not to win him back. Your job is to love him. And so just your prayer is, God, how can I best love him right now? I want this marriage to work. See, because a great marriage takes both of you. But your right. job is to be the best wife that you can be, and that's your opportunity. And I know that I wish we had the right formula. I wish we could say, well, actually, if you do these three things, oh, he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know what? That your opportunity is to go, okay, I'm not going to try to figure out how do I change my marriage? How do I get a better marriage? That's the worst question. The right question, the right focus is, God, how can I be a better spouse? How can I be the kind of wife in this situation where I might be getting some of the worst news that I could ever possibly get? How can I love him? How can I keep my heart open?
Mm-hmm.
That's your biggest job, is how can I keep my heart open in the midst of this conversation, and when I'm tempted to pull back and be defensive, when I want to argue facts, and when I want to get mad, when I want to wring his neck because you're walking away from what? Look what we've built. We have kids together. I mean, you know, when that's the temptation. And so if you are there battling to keep your heart open, and if you are there simply going, you know what, I want to be love in this moment, that's all that you can do. And our hope and prayer is that he hears God.
Mm-hmm.
That you're right. See, don't ever let anybody convince you that somehow that they've simply lost feelings for you. That is a pile of rubbish.
Well, sometimes they believe that about themselves because that phrasing has been used. But you're right; it's something deeper that's going on.
It's mm-hmm. a lie.
Yeah.
Because that's not you identified the real issue is that his heart is closed. His heart may be hardened towards you. So don't personalize where he's at. Let him be at a spot of having a hardened heart towards you. Because that's God's job, is to help get his heart back open. And that's really our prayer, is that there's a sliver, the tiniest opening that God's light can shine in and God's love can shine in. And let God work on his heart. And you go, God, how are you going to use me in this conversation mm-hmm. right now to love in the best? Now, keep fighting for your marriage. I mean, we're not saying you consent to, okay, fine, it's over. You can always say, you know what, I love you, and I'm choose to continue to fight for this, but I will respect where you're at. But I'm going to keep fighting, and maybe that's all that you're able to do in that conversation.
And Julie, there's something so irresistible about a holy confidence and a humble dependence where you are you're walking in love, but you're not clingy and you're not needy. But you're walking in love, and you're saying, I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. You know, as Aaron said, help me understand. But you're going to survive because Christ is going to be with you no matter what. But I think if anything's going to bring the walls down, that posture versus clinging or fear or anger or reaction. And we're going to pray here. I'm going to pray for just a moment because we've got to take a break, a hard break coming up. But Father, I just lift up Julie. In fact, all of our friends listening, would you all join me together? And may we together lift up Julie today in Jesus' name. We pray as she drives home that you would go ahead of her, that you'd make a way where there is no way, that you would soften that heart of her husband, that he would suddenly see the lie that he's been believing, that the walls would come down and he would see what he's ready to destroy, and he would start to want to build back up again. Go before her, give her the words, overwhelm her with the power of your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We've got to take a short break. God bless you, Julie. I'll be thinking about you. Keith, I see you. We're going to get you on the other side of the break. I hope you can hang on. More with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So glad to have my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, on the show. And we're talking about how to fight for your marriage. Sometimes you got to fight and you're both fighting together. You know, you're kind of a mess. You've built walls between each other and you mutually know we need to start opening our hearts together. But sometimes you're fighting for your marriage while the other person has built a tall wall and doesn't want anything to do with you. Specifically, that's what we're going to spend, I think, the rest of the hour talking about. How do you fight for your marriage when your spouse is fighting you? I'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions, you can call in anonymously if you prefer. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I've got Keith checking in from St. Paul, Minnesota. Keith, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. I've been married 17 years, and for probably the past 13 years, I know my wife hasn't been happy for a long time. you know, she said that, you know, she wanted a divorce. We have four kids. I'd never been married before, so all four kids are with my same wife. It's kind of weird because I got a 6, an 8, and then a 13 and a 16-year-old. So they're kind of spread apart. We go from hunting and fishing to shooting guns to all of a sudden, you know, having...
Watching Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an extreme, which is good. It keeps me young. I told my wife a long time ago, you know, I'll never file. And again, I'm a fighter. Always been a fighter. Thing is over the years, you know, we both hurt each other for, you know, with words. You know, we both have our faults. I still love her. I mean, I wouldn't have married her if I didn't. She has a lot of good qualities. It's just one of these things where in the back of my head, which I know is a lie, you know, I would think that, you know, maybe if this thing would fall apart, you know, things would be, maybe we'd be healthier or happier or whatever. Now, last week, she filed. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here filling out the paperwork because I know I'm going to get served pretty soon here. It's just one of those deals like, you know, again, you know, I don't love you. I have no feelings towards you. No sense, you know, if I stayed here, you know, the only reason I stayed this long is because of the kids. You just find those dynamics. You know, again, so what I've been doing, trying to stay strong, getting on my knees, praying. Sometimes I get scared that I'm praying my will and not God's will. It's one of these things where, too, you know, I don't want to pressure, you know, too, because I know that could even... I mean, that's kind of dumb to say that because she's already filed, but, you know, how far can you push her if she's already filed? But I kind of want to give her space. It's hard. You know, I keep trusting God.
You can just...
Worrying about today, I can't worry about the future because I don't even know what the future holds. You know, it's the today. It's all I can focus on today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow, I'm not promised it. It's emotional mess, you know. It's just emotional mess. I mean,
Keith, I can just, as I said before when we chatted, I can just hear the pain in your heart. I'm so very sorry. And Greg, if you want to start and just speak to Keith.
Yeah, my brother, my heart goes out to you. I know that the what you're going through, there's probably very few words to just describe the anguish that you feel on every level. And I'm so sorry that you're going through that. You said something that boy, I just want to touch on because I think you're right on. I mean, when you talked about giving her space, the way that I would frame that is that what I've learned and have watched in these situations, so as Aaron and I have worked with so many couples going through what you're going through, and there's a concept that we call learning to honor a wall. Because what you're encountering is certainly your wife, and you probably have them too, but your wife has these big walls put up. And for whatever reason, and the temptation is to always figure out how do I break through them? How do I get rid of them? The wall that's keeping us from the relationship that I want, the marriage that we want to have. And the problem is this, and so I'm not saying that you're doing this, but it's a good reminder for me is that when Aaron has a wall up and I bump into it, the worst thing I can do is to try to knock through it because a person puts a wall up when they don't feel safe. So for whatever I may have done to my wife when a wall goes up, I want to not break through the wall. I want to recognize that the person behind the wall is someone who's scared, who's full of fear, who feels unsafe in whatever way. And that I want to learn how do I care more about the person behind the wall than I do about somehow getting the wall to come down. And so as you say, I want to give her space. Continue to honor those walls. There may not be anything that you can do, but what we've seen, though, the more and more that you can pray and say, God, teach me, as I have to stand outside this wall, this cold, dark, lonely, isolated spot outside this wall, teach me to become more like you. Because the more you become safe, see, someone's heart opens when they feel safe with us. And so maybe a part of your prayer as you were giving her the space is really, God, man, help me to understand how I can be really, really safe with her heart. What was going on? If she won't tell you and she may not be willing to share that, maybe you know some ways that you've been unsafe, but boy, if you're really, I'm so, God is so for your marriage that I believe that he will continue to reveal the things that he wants you to work on. And so your opportunity outside the wall is growth. It's maturity. It's becoming more like him, becoming the kind of husband that he wants you to. Rather or not, you're going to get that opportunity if she'll let you have that opportunity. But the true win, though, is you becoming more like Christ. As much as I would love to say, man, we want the marriage restored. Well, of course we do. But I would be the first to say that, you know, your ultimate win is actually not the restoration of your marriage. It's you and her becoming more like Christ.
I want to have Aaron chime in, but just I was thinking, Keith, before I forget, we had a couple in studio who'd been married quite a long time. They had four kids as well. They got divorced. And in that place, God started to speak to the husband about some of the ways, just subtle ways, maybe more overt ways, where she didn't feel safe. And he went through such a brokenness. She actually got married again. And he knew he had to pursue Christ in a deeper way for himself. She was gone. He had this revival of faith. Well, that marriage, her marriage didn't work out, that second marriage. She reconnected with her husband because she saw such a transformation. They were sitting in studio, remarried.
Wow.
And she said, you know, after the show, she's like, why did I have to get married again? What was I thinking? And the husband just tenderly said to her, you had to be fully gone. So the full pure motive of my heart motive would be pure to be more like Christ. Not for what I would get out of it, but just for the sake of Christ. And now they're totally in love and starting over, and their kids were their bridesmaids and groomsmen in their wedding. And so I'm just saying, it ain't over till it's over. You know what I mean? And so, Aaron, speak to Keith, if you would.
Yeah, I love what Greg was saying about honoring the wall. And I've been reading a lot recently about the research, like one of the top indicators of a marriage coming together after, you know, let's say infidelity or just the separation is empathy. That when a spouse can be empathic toward the hurting spouse, and not that you're not both bleeding and wounded in your hearts right now, but if you, Keith, can, I love the phrase, lay down your life for your wife. You know, there's the verse that talks about there. What you've been teaching it to Annie, Greg, lay down your life for your friend. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. And really, that's what you're going to be doing by standing outside that wall and saying, I'm here. You stay back there as long as you need to, because I want you to feel safe when you reopen your heart to me. Greg was saying we naturally want to rip the wall down. You know, it's kind of like that little roly-poly bug that closes up when it feels unsafe. And, you know, but if we went over there and tried to pry that bug open, it would die. And it's the same thing when we encounter walls. It's just like that closed up roly-poly bug. We want to pry it open, knock him down. But instead, we want to focus on creating safety and being empathic and trying to understand what has this been like for them. And in the meantime, looking at and asking God to reveal to you, what is it that I can focus on? What's in my control? And like Greg is saying, you're gonna grow exponentially during this time. Regardless of what happens with the outcome of this relationship, you are going to be made into a greater man of God if you turn towards him and allow him to speak to you in ways of what does he want? Where does he want you to grow? Where is he pinpointing and pointing it out to you? And are you willing to listen? That is the good news in all of this.
Keith, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. And that's the thing. You know, I know God's working in my life. You know, again, I mean, I'm running towards him. I'm not going to run away. My faith has always been my rock. I mean, I've always go back to my faith. I mean, again, I look at her too. I mean, she's a child of God. And again, God, I mean, she goes to church and she's a believer. Again, a lot of people, like even like me, I struggle with, I go to church and this and that, but, you know, am I really, really, really a Christian? You know, is someday God going to say, you know, you did all this stuff, but I really don't know you. Again, what I mean by that is, again, there's a lot of people that are, again, I think we go to church and we do a lot of stuff, but again, are we really spiritual fed and filled? Are we really, really, really what we really, really say we are? You know, again, because like I said, you know, we go to church and, you know, we read our kids the Bible, and I pray with my son. We had some really good bonding moments this last week.
Right.
Opening duck hunt, we prayed. It was kind of cool because he asked me to pray. Mm-hmm. Again, I hope, you know, I think sometimes he asks me to pray because I think he wants to shoot a lot of ducks, but it's more like, again, you know what I mean?
Pray about everything, Keith.
Like that. But it's one of these things where, again, it's just really tough. And again, you know, she's a child of God. God loves her. And again, it's just like, again, I know she's hurting. I know we live in a messed up world with a lot of people hurting, and there's a lot of other things going on in this world. And again, it's just like, I got to sit here and just, you know, like you said, empathy. I feel bad. I feel bad about a lot of things that are taking place.
Keith, what if I'm
so helpless?
I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in. We have to take a break in a moment, but I want to ask Greg and Aaron, what would if Keith, just as he sat with God and just said, search me, Lord, what are some ways maybe that she's felt less than safe with me? And he wrote her a letter to say, I've just had some time to think. And kind of repeating even what you said, I want you to feel safe. There's the part of me that loves you wants to tear that wall down, but the part of me that loves you more wants you to be safe more than that, more than what I want. Getting what I want. But these are some things, as I'm recalling, that if I had to do again, I would do over. And I'm sure there are more, but at first glance, this is already what I'm noticing. I wish I could have a chance to do it again. I mean, something like that.
Yeah.
What if, so that she could read it on her terms, but him identifying things that he would love to have done differently? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the biggest message, Keith, that you're wanting to convey is that it's almost this idea that, you know, I understand that the wall is there because you feel unsafe. And I want you to know that I'm going to stand outside this wall as a guard, you know, and work on me so that you can eventually feel safe. And I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll start discovering what I've done to create an unsafe place for you. And it's almost like you wanted to say, I won't rest until you finally feel relaxed to open up and be yourself around me. But I want you to know that I'm not going to bust through the walls, and that I get that there's things that I've done. And I just want you to know, you be where you need to be. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to continue to grow and to learn and do what I can. I think that's the kind of message that she needs. But Keith, I tell you, you won't be able to do that if your heart is shut down. Mm-hmm. So part of the big battle for you is, how do I keep my heart open through all this? And that's where you need your friends, you need your guys to come alongside of you and really say, how's your heart? Where's your heart? And the more you can learn how to keep it open, I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, that's what God asks.
Okay.
His commandment to you is to love him and to love others, her. And that's your job.
Another question for you on Keith's behalf. I'm just wondering, what if he wasn't so quick to sign the papers? What if he was to say, I want to give this 6 months? I know, like in Illinois, they make you wait 6 months. I mean, what if he said, I'll move out, or I'll give you space because I want to respect your boundary and your need. I'm not going to break down that wall. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to serve in any way I can. I'm going to dig in and look at the things I need to look at, but I'm not signing these papers for 6 months. I mean, what if he said something like that, or how is that taken?
You know, here's the deal. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Some may disagree with me on this, but if your wife is dead set on ending the marriage, I would not contest that.
Okay.
I think what he's trying to do more than anything is just continue to say, what every step in action, behavior that I make, how is this helping to make her feel safe? And again, guys, you find a bigger champion for marriage. Aaron and I love marriage. Mm-hmm. And so, but if Aaron is dead set on divorcing me, I would not contest that. What I would continue to do is say, God, man, this is in your hands. I can only learn how to become a better man. That's my options. If I'm trying to control and manipulate Aaron and say, no, I will not sign, I don't think that's what it's about. I don't think that's sending the right message at all. Susie, your story was a perfect example. This, man, we have so many stories of couples coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ didn't come to die for marriages. He came to die for people. And this is, for both of them, the opportunity to learn to become more like him.
Keith, can't even tell you how much it's meant to talk with you and to be praying for you in the days ahead. And you wonder if you're saved. You know what Scripture says, if you trust him. For by grace we're saved through faith. If you've trusted his penalty, I mean his payment on the cross for your sin, you are saved. If you admit, you believe, you confess, you are saved. We're going to be praying for you in the days ahead. When we come back, Greg and I are going to talk about that wall, saying a little bit more about how do you rebuild trust with a mate? How do you serve and love them when they want nothing to do with you? What do you do about such things? They'll talk about that up next. glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really wonderful conversation with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about taking the next step and then the next step. If your marriage is hanging on by a thread, we want to stand with you today, talking about how you fight for your marriage when your spouse is fighting you or they just want nothing to do with you. We've got one more segment left. We're going to try to unpack some of this content, but I just feel the nudge to just say, you still might need to get in and talk with us. And so we got a few more minutes. We can maybe take your call. We can pray with you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And I will say, I've never butchered the gospel message as much as I did a few minutes ago. So if you've got questions about coming to Christ, I want you to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we can have a conversation. I don't want you to miss an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, because he says yes to you. He loves you. So you guys, let's talk a little bit more about this wall. Are you really, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking that really is love, to say, I want safety for you more than I want what I want for me. Yeah. So you've built a wall. I'm going to honor this wall. But I want to just make the distinction between that and passivity, going, well, there's nothing I can do. I mean, then you kind of shrug your shoulders. I know that's not at all what you're talking about. You're saying there's stuff you have to do and can do on the other side of that wall to deepen your roots. So maybe start there. Aaron, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I love what you just said, Susie, about, you know, it's not a passive state. It's anything but that, because you are being enormously active in pursuing God on your end. And I, you know, sometimes it sounds like, well, this is all my fault because I'm, you know, going to pursue God to see what I've done. But, you know, you can't control what they're doing on the other side of the wall. The more you try to, the worse it's going to get, because they're going to feel threatened that you're trying to continue to reach behind the wall and grab them and manipulate them and, you know, lead them down roads that maybe they don't want to go down. The wall is there because they want to sever something, whatever has been going on in that relationship. So it is very active that you are wholeheartedly pursuing God. You are wholeheartedly pursuing communities to support you during this time, that to stand with me, to be the man of God, the woman of God that he is calling you to be.
That's so good. And Greg, before I have you chime in, I just want to say, I interviewed Matt Keller recently, and a couple of things he said about failure of any kind. He said, don't rush past it. He says, you're going to get priceless lessons on sale for the cheapest price you ever will just after failure. You'll never get such a priceless truth at such a low cost as after failure. But if you wait too long, you'll have to pay a much higher price for that same truth. I thought that was so good. So even if you're looking at, if somebody's building a wall, consider that maybe a relational breakdown. Don't rush past it. And what truths can you purchase from that place? So go ahead and take it from there, Greg, about just the assignment for the person who's on the other side of the wall, trying to win back the offended person.
You know, one of the greatest things that happened to me in the season where Aaron had some big walls up, and this has happened throughout our marriage. I mean, there's been other times that I've violated trust. I was hiding money from her. I mean, there's been things that I've done that she had every right to put a wall up. I remember, though, is I would try to break through those and, hey, I love you. We're not going to get divorced. I mean, we've got to work through this, you know, like put the wall down. Let's go forward. I remember for me, Susie, an amazing God finally got me to where I realized, I mean, he brought me to my knees because I was focusing now on me, on God. What are you trying to teach me versus trying to get Aaron to open back up to me? And I remember there was a day that I could feel it. I could see it. I could smell it. I finally understood how unsafe I had been inside my marriage. And it was at that moment that I said to my wife, man, I get it. And you know what? I realized that the best way that I could love her was to actually say, you know what? I'm working through this stuff. I'm actually not very safe. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to open back up to me right now. I'm not at a place that I really know how to handle your heart. I'm not at a spot that I really can be the kind of man that you deserve, the kind of husband that I want to be. And I said to her, do not open your heart back open to me right now. You keep that wall up.
Okay, stop right there.
I'm gonna keep working. Yeah.
I love that. But Aaron, how did that land on you? What did that feel like for you?
Well, it gave me freedom and permission to do what I was doing, putting the wall up. because I didn't have the words to say I don't feel safe with you, but I knew I needed some space and separation. And, you know, him giving me permission to seek that separation was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about getting a little glimpse of hope to open a hardened heart? Giving them permission is a great way to do that.
Wow, amazing.
Well, and for me, it was more than giving permission. It was actually saying, listen, I love you enough to realize that I'm not at a place that I can truly love you and handle your heart the way that you deserve. And so I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep learning. And let's just keep giving this time. It's okay. You know, walls up aren't best for a marriage long term, but in a short term, they can be some of the best things because it forces us to God, not to each other.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. That's just such great wisdom. So walls long-term are not good for the marriage, but short-term, they can actually be built bridges to trust. That's
if it takes you to the Lord and you don't stay in the stewing kind of, I'm wounded and look what you've done to me.
Right, yeah, good point.
And part of that is if you are the one outside the wall, you know, you don't say this to them, but, you know, say it out loud, maybe not when they're in the room. I forgive you in Jesus' name. Because that is going to help you keep your heart open because there probably is going to be hurtful things said and maybe hurtful actions. You're going to feel rejected. You're going to feel abandoned. You're going to feel not good enough. All the things that are going to get stirred up. And, you know, they probably aren't aware of how that's causing you to feel. But, you know, I forgive you in Jesus' name is going to help you to keep your heart open. So when they are possibly ready to peek around that wall to see how safe you are, your heart's going to be open.
Wow. We're going to pray here. And I want you to, if I'm wondering if you, Greg, would pray for Keith and all of the people listening that Keith represents. I mean, you can hear the sadness in his heart. And I just feel like he represents so many of us where there's things maybe that we get lazy about in relationship that we're not intentional about. And suddenly one day, things seem like they're falling apart. And Julie, who's going home right now to face her spouse. Man, so many hurting people. Would you pray for these who are, they don't want their marriage to end. Would you pray for them?
God, we acknowledge that you created marriage. That's a gift you've given us. But more importantly, that you sent your son to die for us, that you care more about our salvation. You care more about us becoming more like your son than you do our marriage. And God, help us to recenter on that truth. That this is an opportunity. You say in James 1:2 that when trials come, consider it an opportunity, Lord. I pray for Keith. I pray for Julie, Lord, that you use these moments to shape them into your son's image. That's the true victory here, God. We do pray for their marriage, Lord. We pray that there are glimpses of hope, Lord, a little bit of an openness, Lord. You can do that. You've got the power, Lord, and we'll just trust that you love both. This is your son. This is your daughter. So, God, however this is going to happen, Lord, we cry out to you. And, Lord, just thank you for the way that you love us and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, God. Help us in these moments to learn how to be a better husband, to be a better wife. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Greg and Aaron, I just can't say enough about you. Love you so much. Appreciate your heart for the kingdom and for family and marriage. And bless you for your time.
You are welcome, and it was my pleasure to bring my radiant personality.
And Aaron, you were all right, too.
Oh, I'm glad there was room for me in the studio.
For you at the table.
For my radiance.
We all need sunglasses to deal with Greg, but God bless you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susie.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. This is something Greg and Aaron often say, that marriage is not self-sustaining. Be intentional. Move towards your spouse. Love them, serve them, pray for them. Build into that marriage because it's worth it, okay? And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.